Job this morning. Job chapter 2 is where we will be reading for the scripture this morning. Job chapter 2, we'll be reading three verses, verses 11, 12, and 13. And I'll read verse 11 and verse 13 if you'll read with me verse 12 in Job chapter 2. Once you've found it, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Job chapter 2. Verse 11, 12, and 13. Again, I'll be reading verse 11, if you'll read with me, verse 12, and then I'll read verse 13. Job chapter 2. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his own, and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they say that his grief was very great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you again for the great time we've had just getting to fellowship this morning. We pray now that you bless the special. I pray you bless preacher as he brings the message. Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon this place. And may we listen and then take away from this message and apply it in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
When trials come and no one's around you, like you're all alone, reach for his arms. They'll comfort and keep you. Just trust in him and embrace the grace. Embrace the grace that God is offering. He feels your hurt and every need. He wants to help you through your trials. Just feel his arms and embrace the grace. The Lord is near when problems come quickly. It seems like there's no way out. He's walked your path and offers you victory. He pleads with you now to embrace the grace. Embrace the grace that God is offering. He feels your hurt and knows your every need. He wants to help you through your trials. Just feel his arms and embrace the grace. Amazing grace, how sweet. Just feel his arms and embrace the grace. Just feel his arms and embrace the grace.
Thank you, Dan. Good song. It goes right along with what we want to talk about this morning. Are you missing someone in your hurt? Are you missing someone and you're hurt? We can start over here and go around the room from front to back, side to side, and catch the balcony, and probably everybody could talk about some measure or form of hurt that either you're going through right now or you've experienced at some time. Some folks in this room have gone through hurt that they didn't know about last time we got together. Last Sunday morning, the Richies were in church, as they always are, and on Sunday afternoon they received a call that their kid Brian's two great nephews had been in an automobile accident, one of those, the 19 and 17, and the 19-year-old passed away. That's hurt. That happened last Sunday after church. And so we could all testify about some type of hurt. I want to ask you this morning, are you missing someone in your hurt? That's the topic of the message. Let's look to the Bible in a moment after we pray. We'll see if we can get some help. Lord, I thank you for the good music. I pray that you'll now bless the preaching of your word. Help me. I ask in Jesus' name to be what the folks need this morning. May your spirit have his way in this service. We've asked you that many times this week, and we now trust you by faith to answer that prayer. We'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. Many, if not all in this room, could identify with what God's Word says in verse number 13 at the very end of chapter 2. The Bible says they saw Job's three friends. They came to sit and talk with him after they heard about all that he'd gone through, to console him and to help comfort him. And when they arrived, the Bible says that they sat for 7 days and 7 nights and nobody said a word. That's something, isn't it? And by the way, on the flip side of this thing, do you know, friend, what an encouragement at times you can be to somebody who's hurt? Just by showing up. Then you have to say anything. Now, these fellows, they sat 7 days and 7 nights, and the Bible says nobody spake a word. And look at the last phrase, for they saw that his grief was great. Now, you've been there. They saw that his grief was great. So great that no words could be spoken that would bring comfort to him at this time. What caused Job's grief? I'm not going to assume that you are familiar with the story, so let me quickly give it to you. Job, the Bible says, was the greatest of all the men of the East. By the way, Job lived a long time ago. He lived, maybe some people believe, before Abraham. So we're talking way back in the book of Genesis type, okay? He was the greatest men of the East, greatest of all the men of the East, the Bible says. He was wealthy and he was healthy. And to put it short to you, he lost it all. He lost it all. The Sabians came. They took 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys, and they killed all of Job's servants that were tending to those donkeys and oxen except for one. A lightning strike came out of God's heaven, and 7,000 sheep were burned up. All the servants who were tending to those sheep died with the sheep except for one. He had 3,000 camels. The Bible says a band of Chaldeans came on his 3,000 band, his camels, and they took all 3,000 camels and they killed all of his servants except for one. And then the Bible says that his 7 sons and his 3 daughters were gathered together in someone, the oldest brother's house, probably for a celebration, a birthday celebration. And the Bible says a great wind came out, probably like a tornado, and knocked the pillars of the house down, and all 10 children. And all the servants that were with the children except for one. So Job lost his oxen, he lost his donkeys, he lost his sheep, he lost his camels, he lost 10 children and all of his servants except for 4. And then the Bible tells us that he lost his health. He broke out with horrible boils from the top of his head to the crown of his feet. He completely lost all of his health. Now people, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a fable. This happened. Job was a real man. He is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. He is mentioned in the New Testament in the book of James. This man is hurt. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. And his grief is so deep, he cannot speak to his friends. We're talking this morning about life's hurts. Life's hurts. There is no one who goes through life without hurt. And hurt can engulf a person. Hurt can engulf a person mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. And often when hurts come into a person's life, people will start looking for something to help them endure the pain, the grief, and the sorrow. Some turn to alcohol. That's such a shame. It only complicates the process. Some turn to drugs, legal and illegal. Some turn to eating constantly, on eating binges because their nerves are completely out of control. Some resort to spending recklessly and just spending and spending and spending recklessly. Some get involved in improper relationships, feeling that an escape in pleasure for a little bit will help them deal. Let's find her a seat, Brother Griffin, so everybody's seated. Come in and sit down, Margo, somewhere, please. Thank you. He'll find you a seat. And that way everybody's seated this morning in the building. I appreciate it. Improper relationships. Now, and all of that is in the vein of thinking that I am missing something that I need to get me through this hurt. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I minimizing someone's personal hurt in this room. I hurt with the Riches this week. I hurt with their family. I'm not minimizing your personal hurt. And by the way, I have a little bit of hurt right now. I've still got a 49-year-old brother who's dying slowly. Every day, just life is being sucked out of his body. More out of it than in. The vital signs dropping slowly. I'm not minimizing my hurt. I'm not minimizing your hurt. But I want to say this morning. It's pretty hard to get much worse than the hurt that Job had for his life. He lost it all. Everything. This is deep hurt. Bad hurt. But even though he, and by the way, he didn't turn to any of those things I just mentioned. He didn't turn to alcohol. He didn't turn to drugs. He didn't turn to some type of improper relationship to provide a little pleasure so he could escape the pain for a little bit. He didn't go on some kind of spending spree and eating binge. He did none of that. He had nothing like that, but Job had someone. He had someone. And that is the key to successfully handling life's hurts. You can't do that. You will not be able to successfully handle life's hurts apart from God. Missing someone in life's hurts. Maybe that someone is not a person. Maybe that someone is God. And I want to talk to you this morning from this passage and look at just three things that I think it helps us to realize. And think maybe this morning, maybe you're going through a life hurt right now and having a difficult time coping with it because you're missing someone. It's not something you need. It's someone. I want to say three things. First of all, let me say this. Job's grief was real. His grief was real. Look at chapter 2, verse number 13 again. The very last phrase in the verse says, "For they saw that his grief was very great." Look at chapter 1 and verse number 20. This is after he finds out that his sheep and camels and oxen and donkeys and his 10 children have all been taken. Look at what he says in verse number, look what he does in verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground." I want you to see his actions there. He rent his mantle, his outer garment. He shaved his head. And then the Bible says he fell down upon the ground. Now, all of those were symbolic of grief back then. You know, today, we may manifest our grief in different ways than they would back then. But this is how they did it in Job's day. He tore his outer garment. He shaved his head and he fell on the ground. Now, some have the crazy idea that if we are right with God and in a good relationship with God, then we will never grieve or weep when hurts come. We have this Superman, superhuman response. We've got a Teflon hide, if you will, and anything that is thrown at us just kind of hits and then slides away. I want to tell you something, people, that is not real. Job's grief was real. Tears, grief, sorrow are all normal and natural responses to hurt. And the Bible is full of those examples. Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Hezekiah cried tears when he was told that he was going to die. Job said, My eye poureth out tears unto God. Listen to what David said, because I think many in this room have been with David. He says, I water my couch with my tears. You ever done that? You ever watered your couch with your tears? You ever watered your pillow with your tears? Because something was taken, something was lost, some separation, something happened in life, and hurt, real deep, real grief came into your hurt, into your life. And with David, you know, you wept until you had no more power to weep, and your pillow was actually wet. The tears that came down your cheeks. You see, his grief is real. Paul wrote it this way. He said, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Many tears. I'm saying Job's grief was real. Folks, it's unnatural and it's not human to go through life's hurts with a dry eye and a stoic face and a Superman mentality with a Teflon hide that nothing sticks and nothing hurts. Oh, no, no, no. The Bible is full of examples of just the opposite. Real grief, real hurt brings real grief and real tears. You know, I'm thankful for the years I had in Bible college and the much preparation that was given to me and the classes and the practical experience on weekends. I was able to do so much that I believe helped prepare me for ministry. And part of that was done in what they called church education class. And they would come in and teach you about certain ministries of the church and what to do for this ministry and what to do for that ministry and how to organize it and how to set it up. And they talked to us about hospital visitation, and they talked to us about funerals. And they tried to help us know how to get through a hospital visit or get through a funeral for somebody in the church that had died. But I want to tell you something. As much as they taught us, as far as methods go, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do not do this, it was very hard for the Bible college to prepare us for dealing with people's tears. Very hard to do that. Very hard to prepare you for sitting across the table from someone who's had a great loss in their life and their heart is broken and the tears are streaming down their cheeks and you have to reach for a Kleenex box and hand them not one but two or three Kleenexes to catch all the tears that are falling. It's hard to be trained on how to do that. It's hard to be trained on how to be at the funeral home when you sit with the family. I remember the first funeral I was ever asked to do after I graduated from Bible college and went to work for Brother Brown. The first funeral I was asked to do was a 2-year-old boy. Brother Gellis, you talk about difficult. You know, if it had been a 75 or 80 or 85-year-old man or woman, you know, of course there's still tears, there's still hurt. But at 75, 80, and 85, you kind of figure, you know, they've lived a good life. Long, long life, but 2 years of age? The little child had gotten into some rat poison. It fried his little brain, brought death to his brain. It was on the machine, and they had to unplug it. Horrible. And I remember I was just young, just 23 years of age, just out of Bible college, and trying to help that family and sitting there and watching the tears just cascade and the broken heart. I'm going to tell you, you can't get prepared for that until you start going through it. And I'm simply saying this morning that, you know, grief is real. And heartache is real. And sorrow is real. And sadness is real. And you know, you don't have to feel bad or ashamed. We had a lady this morning that asked for prayer upstairs in the newcomer's class, and she choked up and was weeping a little bit. And there's no shame in that. That's normal. That's a part of life. And Job's grief in this situation, he wasn't some Superman, Teflon-hided, Teflon-skinned individual who was so far removed from everything because he had money that he didn't feel for people. His children are gone, and servants that he loved were gone, and all of his wealth, and he lost his health, and he wept. He said his eye poured out tears. And David said, I watered my couch with my tears. So grief is real. Job's grief was real. Number two, I want to say this morning, not only Job's grief was real, but I want you to hear that. I want you to really give me a good listen this morning, and please don't take something away from this that I don't say here. So listen carefully. Job's direction was right. I want you to look at verse number 20 again. Verse number 1, chapter 1, verse number 20. Then Job arose, we talked about this, and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And then look what it says. And worshipped. Worshipped. I mean, you just lost 10 children, all the animals, all your wealth. You just lost your head. In the next chapter, you're going to lose your health. Your grief is real. So you rent your outer garment, you shave your head, and you fall down upon the ground. All of those are expressions of extreme guilt. And then you worship. Now, we're not told what he did. I don't know if he sang. I don't know if he prayed. I don't know if he praised God. I don't know what Job did. I'm not going to speculate as to what Job did. Here's my point this morning that I don't want you to miss. I want you to see that whatever it was Job did, he looked in the right direction. When the hurt came, and the real grief that accompanied the hurt, and the tears, he was in the midst of all that. He worshiped. Now, I'm not being mean or ugly, but if we look only in a horizontal direction when hurt comes into our life, it means we are looking for something. And it's not something that's going to help us get through life's hurts. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I understand. You know, things can help us temporarily. But when the alcohol bottle is empty, you got to buy another one. And when the little packet of cocaine is gone, you got to get some more. And when the relationship with the improper, immoral relationship ends, you got to look for somebody else. So you can run in a horizontal direction when you get hurt, and you can start looking for all these things that you think you're missing to help you get through it. But the direction you need to look for is up. Vertical. He looked the right direction. To look vertically means we realize we need someone, not just something. We need someone, and not just someone on earth. Someone more than human. More than a person. And when Job looked up, he got some help. He got some help. I want you to show you, look at what he said in verse 21. When he looked up, when he looked the right direction, not horizontal, but vertical. When he looked the right direction, look at what he said in verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now watch this, friend. Please hear me this morning. Job said, I came into this world with nothing. I will leave this world with nothing. I came into this world at birth with nothing. I will leave this world at death with nothing. So everything. In between birth and death is temporary. Everything. No, you're missing it. You're not listening to it. I say everything. Do you realize when you get married, you say these vows and you end it with till death is part. Is that you? We're not going to be married in heaven? Not in the sense we're married down here. Oh, we're going to know people in heaven. I think I'll know my wife. I think she'll know me. I think we'll spend a lot of time together in heaven. But the marriage relationship ends at death. Over. Everything in this life is temporary. Because I come into this world with nothing at birth. I leave this world with nothing at death. So everything that comes into my life, spouse, children, wealth, accomplishments, everything on this planet, in this life, is temporary. Houses? Relationships? It all's temporary. All of it. Job realized that when he looked to heaven. And I want to tell you something, friend. I believe in some way this brought some measure of comfort to Job's heart and Job's mind when he looked up to an eternal God and he realized, you know what? The honest truth of the matter is, everything that I have and can accumulate on this earth is just temporary. I had wealth. And I thank God for the time that I had it. I had 10 kids, and I thank God for the time that I had them. I had health, and I thank God for the time that I had it. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. This did not remove the hurt from Job's heart. But it brought some measure of help. And comfort, did you ever get hurt as a kid? Did you ever ride a bicycle without a helmet? And knee pads and shin pads and arm guards. And did you ever, when it was fun to ride a bicycle? Man, I can remember riding bikes. I've told you before, those old spider bikes, they were brand. Tim and I both got one for Christmas. Oh, brother. Banana seat, big old handlebars, slick back tire. We used to take baseball playing cards and other cards and put them on the spokes on the back tire so that when you rode down the road, when you rode your bike down the road, it would. Remember that? Oh, man. We didn't have gears. We didn't have handbrakes. We had a pedal and a brake. Huh? You with me this morning? Amen. And race. Oh, man, loved it. Fly around those streets and race and race. And one day we're racing. And we're going to race to a certain point. The first one there is the winner. And Tim had the beat on me. Just by a little bit, he had the beat on me. So I thought I was good. I thought I know what I'll do. I'll take a shortcut. But that was cheating. And I decided to take the shortcut too late. And when I turned the front wheel, I went head just cartwheeling. Front tire cartwheeling. Man, I hit the pavement. No arm guards. No helmet. Got up. You talk about a mess. A mess. I remember going into the house, sitting there. Mom saying, okay, come on, let's go into the bathroom. Put the toilet seat down. Sit on the toilet right here, Get all the paraphernalia. Get the hydrogen peroxide out. And then that little bottle. It was a glass bottle back in those days with a little dropper on it. It said methylate. It's horrible. It's orange. I don't even know if they make it anymore. Probably have mercury in it or something. It's supposed to kill us all, But I'm going to tell you something. I'm living proof that it don't kill you. And Mom would bathe that thing in hydrogen peroxide and all those bubbles come to the surface. That's good for it. That's good for it. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. Now, this won't hurt. Huh? Now, look. She dressed those wounds. And when I got up from the toilet after she was all done, they weren't gone. Right? In fact, I carried it for days. But there was some measure of comfort. What I'm telling you this morning, Job's direction was right. His grief was real. His direction was right. He looked up. And when he looked up, God reminded him that, you know what, Job? As close as all of those things are to your heart, as close as your children were, and as close as your spouse is, and as close as all your servants, and as close as and as wonderful as all of your accomplishments and all the things, it's all temporary. We better believe that. Because this is why folks get bitter at God. God takes a spouse and somebody gets bitter because he was mine! She was mine. It's all God's. God takes a child, 19-year-old boy. It's all temporary. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. I'm talking about how to deal with grief, how to deal with hurt. Look at chapter 2, verse number 10. He said unto his wife, if you got your Bible, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? Good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? You know what Job said? He realized to only receive good, that's the Lord giving. And to not receive bad, that's the Lord taking. He said that would not be real. To only receive good, for God only to give and never to take away, that now that would be ideal. Let me ask you a question. Who's had an ideal life in this room? Anybody had an ideal life? No, you haven't had an ideal life. I haven't had an ideal life. We've all lost something. We've all had something taken from us. You know, maybe it's not in death. Maybe I'm talking to somebody whose dad walked out on you when you were 10 years old. You don't think that hurts? That kills a kid. Hurt. You know, yes, it'd be wonderful. What would it be? For everybody to be born into this world and have everything and do everything and nothing to ever be taken away. It's called fake. It's not real. Reality is God gives and God takes, and that's real life. And there will always be hurt when the Lord takes away. In fact, Job even referred to it as evil, not sinful evil, but hurt, deep grief. There will always be hurt and grief when the Lord takes away. But you know what I think? I think it helped Job to realize that it was the Lord who did it. By the way, friend, did you ever think about this? And some of you are familiar with this story. Job didn't say those Sabians. He didn't say those horrible Chaldeans. That rotten tornado and that horrible strike of lightning. No, he didn't say any of that. You know what he said? He said, the Lord. Think about this. Think with me. Don't you think it brings some measure? No, it doesn't take the hurt completely away. I'm not talking this morning about removing hurt from your life. I'm talking about how to get through hurt. Removing hurt's not real, folks. That's fake. And this prosperity gospel that if you're right with God and you have faith, you know, all the faith and right with God that you need to be, you'll never have anything bad happen in life. That's a bunch of junk. That's goofiness. But if you have to lose something, isn't there some measure of comfort to know that it was the Lord? It was not some underling. It wasn't some bizarre bolt of lightning that just happened. It wasn't some strange wind that just blew through and I lost my kids. There was somebody greater than behind that wind. If you're working at a job, the CEO pulls you aside someday and says, look, man, we've got all kinds of changes and going a different direction with the tech, with the business. And, you know, you just don't figure into our plans anymore. And it's not because your work is bad. It's just what you do doesn't figure into our plans. And I hate it, but I'm going to have to let you go. Isn't there some measure of comfort that it wasn't a foreman that just got mad at you and fired you? It wasn't some supervisor that just had a bone to pick with you and got rid of you. The president, the CEO of the company himself brought you aside and explained and said, this is what I've got to do. And that's what Job said. He said, this wasn't some little bizarre act of nature. This was the plan of God. I didn't say it made it easy. I didn't say it took hurt away. But it was God's plan. And you're not going to run down the road and throw your hands up and shout, "Yay! It was God!" No, that'd be stupid. But at least in your heart you understand, you know what? God was behind all of this. I may not comprehend it fully, but it helps me to know that it wasn't just a human. It wasn't some human error. It wasn't some human that blew a stop sign and T-boned our vehicle. That behind it all was a great big God of heaven. This is in His plan. Some measure of comfort. Some measure. No, no, it didn't take the wound away, but the medicine that she applied helped endure the pain. Helped get through it so I didn't have to turn to a bottle or run to some druggie on the corner or go looking online for some person to not need that. This is real hurt, real grief. But I looked the right direction and I was able to comprehend and understand just a little bit some things that have put a little bit of oil on my wound. Does that make sense to y'all? His grief was real. His direction was right. I finish with this morning. Job's foundation was rock solid. Don't turn to it, but in Ezekiel chapter 14, two times in chapter 14, verses 14 and 20, the Bible says Job was righteous. That means righteous before God. That means in modern vernacular that Job had been saved. Job had entered into a relationship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection that was to come of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they looked ahead to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In the New Testament, we look back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But Job was right before God because he was one of God's children. And God could put him down as righteous. You say, well, what does that got to do with his foundation being rock solid? Listen carefully. Jesus told a story to his disciples and others about two men who were going to build a house. And Jesus said one of those men built his house on the rock. And the other of those men built their house on the sand. So one man builds his house on the rock and the other man builds his house on the sand. And Jesus said the storm came. Has it come to you? Has the storm come? Jesus said the storm's come. And they beat on both of those houses. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and the storm beat on the houses. And that's what it feels like when you get hurt. The storm beats on you. Beats on your mind. Beats on your heart. Beats on your emotions. But then Jesus said this. He said, the house on the rock stood. The house on the sand fell. And great was the fall of it. That rock, friend, is a picture, Jesus said, of His sayings, His teachings. That rock, in essence, was a picture of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus was saying, build your life on Me, the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Job had the foundation. He lost it all, but his foundation was made of rock. And brother, when the storm came against Job and he lost his donkeys and his oxen and his camels and his sheep and his children and his health, his house shook. Do you blame him? And you can, look, if you think that I'm saying this morning that these things take the hurt completely away, read the rest of the book this week. His house shook. Job said, God, why was I even born? Why didn't I just die in my mother's womb? It would have been easier to die in my mother's womb than to go through this hurt. And his friends made a miserable mess of trying to comfort him. I'm not saying that these things don't hurt. You can take life's hurts completely away. You can't. His house, his life, his heart, his mind, his emotions shook. But he didn't fall. He didn't fall. But if you're not built on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're built on the sand. And friend, when these type things come in your life, not only will it shake your house, it'll wash it away. When I'm using the word house here, I mean your life. You'll end up in bitterness and ugly and just mean, hard person. Mad at God, mad at it. Oh yeah. It's amazing, people in this church. I look up in the balcony, I see my friend and brother up there, William Bibbs. Just a few days ago, he lost his nephew, but it wasn't a nephew. It was like a son to him. How old was Zach? 36. Hurt. But I look up there and I see him sitting here and talk to him Wednesday night and eyes full of moisture. And talk to Brian and Barb, and they're sitting here this morning, their eyes full of moisture as they came in the door and talking about the situation. The one boy still in the hospital. There's so much hurt in this life. If you try to go through hurt, looking only in this direction for some more thing to help you for just a little, you got to look this way. You got to look this way. And the beginning place to help with all of this is to know for sure that you are born again, that you are on your way to heaven, that you're saved. And some folks maybe in this room have not been saved. Not been saved. You know, I said last Sunday night, Sunday nights after the evening service and Monday morning, for any preacher is always a little bit of a down time. Because you want, on Sunday, you want the Holy Spirit to touch everybody's heart. When you feel like the Holy Spirit has touched people's hearts and they leave without letting the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in the heart, it just kills you. And if you're not saved, don't leave here today. I beg you. Maybe you've been thinking about it this week. Maybe it's been on your mind. This is where it all starts, right here. This, how do you start with? What do you start with to get through life's hurts? You start with Christ. You start there. And I am not saying that you'll have this Teflon Superman where hurts will just bounce off you and you'll never weep again. Oh, you'll weep. You'll weep. But you'll weep standing, not being washed away. Are you missing someone in life's hurts? Are you missing someone? Are you? Is it Christ? Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And let me just ask you, can you give me your attention with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a couple minutes? Just, I mean that, seriously. Just listen to me carefully here. How many would say, Brother Angel, I listened to the message this morning. I'm going through some kind of hurt now. I've been through some kind of hurt. Something that was said this morning, the Holy Spirit was able to take it and put it in my heart and help me a little bit. I didn't give you the answer, friend, on how to erase or remove hurts from life. I don't have that. But I do have some help for getting through it. Pastor, pray for me. I think I needed to hear the message this morning, and I believe God used it to speak to my heart. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's you this morning? Keep it up just for a moment. Let me look around. God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. You may take your hand down. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Let me ask this question this morning. I would ask, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know it. I know it. Christ is my Savior. I've been born into God's family, and I know it. If you could say that with all honesty this morning between you and God, would you just give a testimony of that by not looking, but just raising your hand in the air if you're saved and you know it? Would you slip it up this morning? Be honest about it. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now listen, are you not sure? Are you not sure? There's somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I was honest. You asked me to be honest. I was. I don't know for sure if I died right now that I go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that. I don't know that. And I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. You didn't raise your hand a moment ago that you know for sure. Would you raise your hand now so I can pray for you? I won't call your name out, but just slip it up. Anybody like that, God bless you. Yes. Somebody else. Just slip it up. Yes. Okay. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Yes. I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else. Come on now. You've been thinking about it for a week or two or a month maybe. Think about it. We're talking about the whole beginning place for taking care of trying to get through life's hurts. This is where it starts. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure. Pray for me. Anybody else? We'll pray for you. God, Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that went up this morning. I pray that you'll please draw people to Jesus Christ. I can only throw out the invitation, Lord, and it's your Spirit that must bring folks. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning and folks will respond, or that you'll help some people, I pray.